Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We're pressing on in the Psalms, the 34th Psalm, and we've looked at the first 10 verses of it. So let's start with verse 11. Perhaps we'll get to the end of it today. I think it's 22 verses long. But listen to what it says in verse 11. Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Now, remember, this psalm was written by David, and it says it's written by him when he feigned madness before Abimelech, and then Abimelech drove him away. So that's the background. That's the backdrop. That's what David wanted us to know about this. And now he's saying this, come, children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. So if you've ever wondered how to live within the fear of the Lord, maybe even what the fear of the Lord is, et cetera, right here you have some teaching about it. Verse 12, he continues, and he asks this question. What man is there who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? So he says, so if there's a man among you who desires life and you want to live many days, you love many days, and that you want to see good, here's what you need to do. Verse 13, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. So he's going to start firing all these various things. And the first thing he says is keep your tongue from evil and keep your lips from speaking deceit. Well, what does that tell us? That tells us that we have a role and a responsibility to do exactly that, to keep our tongues from evil, to keep our lips from speaking deceit. It also tells us that we're able to do so. Okay, that we're able to do so, particularly under the new covenant when we're empowered by the Most High God himself. So it's not like the psalmist is telling you to do something that is impossible to do. Now, yes, we hasten to say that of our own ability, our own volition, our own skills, et cetera, we're not going to be able to do that. Okay, but empowered by the Most High God, we can say, yes, I'm going to keep my tongue from evil in the name of the Lord. Yes, I'm going to keep my lips from speaking deceit in the name of the Lord and by the power of the Lord. Well, he continues, verse 14, turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Again, things that we have roles and responsibility and that we're able to do in the Lord. Now, even the world is able to do some of these for a period of time. They're able to hold their tongue, not lie about something, turn away from evil and do some good, seek peace, pursue it. But if you want to live in this as a pattern, practice of behavior is only by the power of the Most High God. So turn away from evil, but not only turn away from it, do good. Seek peace, but not only seek peace, but pursue it. Again, a role, a responsibility on our part to pursue peace, which tells us why. Yeah, sometimes peace is elusive. Yeah, sometimes peace seems to be fleeing from us, running away from us. Okay, but seek after peace. Verse 15, the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and his ears toward their cry. And so we've seen this eyes of the Lord thing a couple of times. The Lord is looking. The Lord is seeking. I love what it says in 1 Chronicles. The eyes of the Lord are roaming to and fro across the earth, and he's looking for people that he can come alongside. He's looking for people that he can empower, okay? He's looking toward the righteous, and his ears are toward the cry of the righteous. Don't ever think the Lord doesn't hear. He hears the cry of the righteous. So he's talking about eyes. He's talking about ears. And then verse 16, the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. So we actually have the phrase face to face with something. You come face to face with something. Oh, you want to come face to face with something? How about the Most High God himself? Yeah, yeah. The very face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And his whole point and purpose is to cut them off from the earth. Cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. That's profound right there. And so again, we're getting that anthropomorphic stuff of the Lord, the eyes, the ears, the face, but it's to give us an idea of how much God is on the side of the righteous and how much he stands and resists the evil. Verse 17, When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their trouble. This is just a proclamation of truth and a promise right here. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Had David had a situation where he's in trouble? Yeah, the whole thing with Abimelech, right? And so he's acknowledging, hey, the righteous, when you cry, the Lord hears and he's going to deliver. Verse 18, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. I think that's a great thing for us to remember. Okay? He's near the brokenhearted. Again, you see right here, it doesn't say that if you're righteous, you'll never be brokenhearted. No. He's acknowledging there will be brokenheartedness. But the Lord is near. Okay? He's near you when you're brokenhearted. And he saves those that are crushed in spirit, contrite in spirit, that he saves them. Don't forget that, folks. Verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. And I think I mentioned it in the previous episode. This particular psalm is very proverbial. You know, it sounds like Proverbs, doesn't it? So he tells us that the righteous will have afflictions, and not just one or two, but many. We'll have many afflictions. The Lexham says many distresses. This is true. But the Lord delivers us out of all of them. Now, I know what people will do. They'll say, well, so-and-so is a righteous person. And look, they weren't delivered out of this, and they wind up costing them life, and they died. Well, guess what? Is that not the ultimate deliverance? And I'm just not, you know, parsing words here with things. No, the ultimate deliverance is being taken from this existence into the everlasting presence of the Most High God. We will all one day, one way or the other, be delivered in that way. And the Lord will deliver us out of all the afflictions and distresses that this life has. Then verse 20, he, speaking of the Lord, keeps all his bones. Not one of them is broken. You go, wait a minute, that sounds sort of familiar. Yeah, with Jesus hanging on the cross kind of thing. Yeah, that this psalm right here is referenced and was spoken of that not one of his bones would be broken. Here is talking about the righteous is foreshadowing the coming of the Lord. Now, the last two verses. Affliction will slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. So he's letting us know what's happening. That this evil, this affliction that comes against us. Actually, the ESV says affliction will slay the wicked. All the other translations I'm looking at say evil will slay the wicked. Evil shall slay the wicked. In other words, they're going to go down by their own wickedness. And those who hate the righteous will be condemned. Okay? Those who hate the righteous, you're going to incur guilt. You're going to be set aside and be desolate. Verse 22, the last verse. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. Ooh, this is looking forward to things yet to come. If you're a servant, if you're a believer of the Most High God, he's going to redeem your life. He'll redeem the time in our lives today, our corporeal existence today. But those who take refuge in him will not be condemned. We will not be condemned at the ultimate great white throne judgment. Okay, there will be no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, as the Spirit revealed to Paul later on. Psalm 34, great psalm. It's one of these I suggest that we all spend some time in, right? Well, again, I'm Dale. Thank you for your time, and I'll see you in the next episode. Goodbye.